Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello, I'm Justin Case.
And I'm Martin Bain, and you're listening to the Above Politics Show.
See, there's a long list of people we need to thank for giving us the opportunity to do this, but I suppose that can wait till later.
Right you are, Justin. But yes, we will be thanking a lot of people for the very first Above Politics Show. But I suppose we should start off by telling the audience a little bit about ourselves and how we got here.
Hey, go ahead, Martin. I need a minute to take some rabbit fur off this microphone.
Well, we need to thank Dave and Johnny for letting us into the studio, but we really got to talk to them about the kind of mess they leave behind. I'm still looking for both their little black books in all this mess. There's a rumor that Dave Rabbit's little black book contains all the interesting stories on John Lear that will never make it to the ATS Mix Show. Anyway, getting back to talking about me. Okay, introducing myself. As some of you can tell, I am the non-American. Why do Americans insist on calling me the non-American? Never mind, we will come back to that. I live in the southwest of the UK. For those of you with an Atlas or Google Earth, look for or type in Bristol. And yes, I do know there is Bristol in the US, so make sure you put Bristol in the UK. And there I am. So where did my passion for politics come from? And I have to say, my parents must take the initial responsibility. I was exposed to our local member of parliament.
We have laws against that sort of thing here in the United States.
Yeah, I know, but we seem to take a different view in the UK. Yeah, if you're caught exposing yourself, you'll just get a little slap on the wrist and, you know, probably be put on probation and you carry on exposing yourself. It's what most MPs seem to get away with. Anyway, as I said, I was exposed to this member of parliament and he's the elected representative. For the area
the elected representative for the area we live in.
So I got involved in politics from an early age. My parents were active party members, and I can remember that Anthony Kershaw, the MP who I was exposed to, telling me a story that in the House of Commons at the time, and the House of Commons is the elected lower house in the UK Parliament, the then Prime Minister, Harold Wilson's nickname was called Lord of the Sillies. Here is the first competition on Above Politics Show. I'm not sure what the prize is, and I'm now sure there's panic in the production office because they're thinking he's about to give something away. The first member who posts on this show's thread the joke behind Harold Wilson being called Lord of the Sillies, we will think of some way to reward you. Anyway, getting on to it. So from the early beginnings, I got more involved. And I can remember our house being used as a local committee room when Margaret Thatcher, yes, I know some of you will be hissing me, cursing me, and will probably be putting a contract out on me. But hey, my parents supported Margaret Thatcher at the time I lived in the house. So our house was painted blue, had blue this, had blue that. And we helped, or my family helped Margaret Thatcher get elected. But strangely, in my college days, I was a member of the Students' Union. Now, hey, we go from right wing on one hand to left wing on the other hand.
So does your government have a dossier on you now?
I suspect they probably do, Justin. It's probably not that interesting, and I'm sure there are people more exciting and more interesting to read. But yes, just as I'm sure that you have a dossier as well, and I need to have a chat with someone to see if I can get to find out all your little dark secrets, because I'm sure you've got many of them. Anyway, more recently, as I've grown up, matured, we could have a good argument about that one, I've been more than happy to hassle my local representatives when something's wrong. And boy, over here, things are wrong a lot. And my local councillors, they have their own email group on my Yahoo account, so I can just mass mail all of them in one go. One of the things I do enjoy doing, though, is being a panel member for my local county council. And that's where they write to me and say, do you think we should increase the local taxes? Do you think we should do this? Do you think we should put more money to education? Guess what? I normally vote no to all these things because I don't want to give my government any more money. But one thing I firmly believe, and one of the reasons I came to Above Politics in the first place, is I wanted to get more involved. And I say the right to vote is one that we should protect and honour. And my view is, if you don't vote, then you shouldn't complain. So that's just a few words about me. It's now time to hear from Justin. How's that microphone coming? And do you need any rabbit food to get rid of the rabbit fur?
No, I found some tape. I think this will work. Well, my story, I think, is a little simpler. I was made from parts unknown, came from parts unknown, and led a fairly simple life before I was given the opportunity to come and do the Above Politics show. I eat, sleep, and breathe politics, and like most Americans, I do it in a very large way.
Are you saying you're large, like obese, or just got a large ego, or what?
Oh, it's definitely the ego. I get that from my wife all the time. She tells me we need a spare zip code extension just for my own ego. But I'm sure our listeners are gonna get more than a little bit of that in the future.
So hey, we've got to do some work on your ego if you only need.
You better be careful about that. You British guys, you've had problems with that imperial expansion in the past. Now I have a question about your home life. Okay, I lived in a very political house as well. Did your parents actually trot you out and make you talk to company?
Occasionally, yes, but we were normally threatened and told that if we did misbehave, you know, clip around the ear hole. I know that's out of fashion these days, but if I stepped out of line and I embarrassed my parents, I'd get the look, and I'd know later on I was probably going to get a clip around the ear hole. But yes, I was wheeled out to decent and polite company. As I've said, I met this MP. He used to come to the house because my parents were involved in politics. So, yep. Decent company came and spoke to me occasionally.
Well, I don't know if they were decent company, but I got wheeled out to talk to the company on a regular basis. And the standard speech beforehand was, now, honey, if you don't make us look good, you know you'll be grounded for a week, so give it your best shot. Now, speaking of giving it your best shot, Martin, I'm curious, as a non-American, what do you see? What does abovepolitics.com look like to you?
Back to being a non-American, Justin. You and I are going to have to work on that, and it's probably going to have to be done offline. But for me, the opportunity to get online, to see what other people are thinking, and to get the views from around the world on issues that impact us all. One of the things I see on ATS, there are some very sharp people. And sometimes I'll get onto a post, onto a thread, and I'll say something, and I hit the commit button, and I think, yeah, I've done it. I've put a real clever, smart aleck remark up. Boy, I live to regret about it. The other thing that's great for me is I use the usual media outlets, the BBC, the internet, some TV, some radio. But one of the things I enjoy is just seeing alternative news coverage. And sometimes I've seen things on ATS a little bit in advance of what's happened on mainstream media. But what I really like is people's views. Because sometimes when you, say, listen to the radio, you get to hear one person's view or the view of the owner of that media outlet. What I like on Above Politics, I can get a news article and I can see 10, 15, 20 people within maybe a couple of hours who have posted their opinions. So, for the non-Brit, Justin, what does abovepolitics.com mean for you?
Well, among other things, actually, it means that when I go to abovepolitics.com and look at the, for example, the UK politics section, I get a chance to see what you guys are thinking in your own words. And it's the international flair of AP that really attracts my attention. Now, I got to admit, there are some times I got to wonder what in the world other people are thinking, but I know that they've got to say that about Americans all the time, so I'm ready to take as good as I get.
Oh, and too right. I mean, you guys just open yourselves up for it sometimes, but we just got to smile. Someone's got to be there for the patsy for the rest of us to aim at and try and hit you with.
Well, I think we have an important job here. We're not here to carry anybody's water. We don't have any agendas to carry out, at least none that I've seen a memo for. So, you know, really, when you get right down to it, nobody owns us, and that's what our listeners are going to expect when we speak. See, I know there's a lot of things in the studio to distract you, but...
Golly, yeah, there are many things. I'm still rummaging around for that for Dave Rabbit's black book, and I will find it before the end of the show.
Just be careful. There's some sticky stuff on the instruments in here, and I don't even want to think about who put it there.
No, let's not go there. We want to keep our audience. We want to have a decent, civilized audience. But getting back to the real focus of the show, one of the things I want to bring is a more global view, so you hear about political events from the rest of the world, not just North America. And if I have an opinion... And you can jump in here, but if I have an opinion, you will hear it. And sometimes you will want to punch the screen, throw your MP3 player away, but don't do that. Get on the show threads. If you agree with us, we'd like to hear that as well. But if you disagree with whatever Justin and I say, and if you don't, I think we're doing something wrong. Get on it, post it, and we'll come back to you.
Well, they need to be careful, because if they say anything smart, we might quote them. And you know what happens if they say anything really stupid.
Yep. And the worst thing is, I'm going to be looking at your post to see if I can get you on there before any of our other members.
Okay. Hey, let's jump into this a little more here. Every TV station and newspaper in the United States right now is clogged with presidential election coverage. Before we get to that stuff, I'd like to know, in your opinion, what's going on in the rest of the world that we should be paying attention to?
Well, what's going on in my part of the world? Because sometimes we suffer from the same sickness, the same disease, the same thought process of the Americans, that sometimes there's not a lot happening outside the rest of the world from the UK. So just a little bit on what's happening on the UK, as we have plenty of friends in the UK. One of the real interesting things is that the ministers in Gordon Brown's government has had to resign because of some funding irregularities. He stood for the deputy leadership of the Labour Party. Labour Party is equivalent to the Democratic Party in the States. This minister was called Peter Hain, and he was the Minister for Work and Pensions and the Minister for Wales. He received some donations to his deputy leadership campaign, and he didn't declare them, made the claim to the authority that was checking all of this one that it was an oversight on his behalf, which I suppose worries me a little bit, that here's a guy who controls huge sums of money, and the Work and Pensions Department has a budget running into countless billions. And here's a man who forgot to declare £100,000, around about $200,000. So he's had to walk the plank at last. He claims that he resigned of his own free will. But hey, I really don't believe that. I think the Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, probably wheeled him in and said, got a decision to make. What paper shall I write your resignation on? So that's something worth thinking about.
Here in the United States, most of our politicians... if they are told to resign, they do the same thing. They still will look right into the camera and say, this is my choice. I'm doing this to spend more time with my family.
Yes, and the worst thing is sometimes you see their family behind them and you think, boy, no, you should really have been a good boy, stayed in politics so you don't have to spend so much time with them.
I'm sure that's what Senator Larry Craig's wife must be thinking. Gosh, why did you do this? Now you have to be home around the house.
Yes, it makes you wonder if the staff changed, you know, from being all young you know, muscled bodies, you know, for looking after her home while her husband was away. But hey, we digress very slightly. There's another,
just a little bit.
Only just a little bit, but there's another funding issue going on in UK politics as well. There's an MP who has been giving his son money for being a researcher. And in the UK, MPs can claim money for having researchers to help them run their offices as being MPs, so if they want to research things. And it appears that he had been paying his son, but the whip is basically when you become an MP, you become an MP of a party and you say to that party, I will take the whip. I will be a member of your party and I will typically do what you as the party say to do. So that's called the whip. And we have things in the House of Commons called whip to make sure that they're the Rottweilers of our party. So they will go out and say if it's a controversial issue and the government thinks it might lose, the whips then go out and make sure that everyone who can vote will vote. So this MP has had the whip taken away from him, and he's just recently announced that he's not going to be an MP next time round. So he's decided to take the ultimate price, and I'm sure at some stage he'll turn around and say he wants to spend more time with his family. And the real killer here is this is all taxpayers' money. This is my money. This is every other UK member of ATS and Above Politics' money given away on the gravy train. And boy, I do get annoyed at that. I'd like to get some of it myself, but not likely to happen in the short term.
Just be happy you don't live in Kenya.
Well, funny enough, Justin, that is the next place I was going to go to. Not happy times in Kenya. They had a recent election there, and there have been massive claims of rope rigging. Yes, right, vote rigging. Let's learn to put my teeth in. Quite sad, really, that was part of the Commonwealth. So I suppose in the UK we take a greater interest in it. It's part of the British Empire for many years and is now a member of the Commonwealth. But there's been a lot of violence there and the MP has been assassinated. But good news, Kofi Annan, ex-head of the UN, is in there and he's now trying to save them. He's now trying to bring them all together in a little group hug and say, now, tell each other you're sorry, you won't go around killing people. And the President Kibaki is probably going to have to say to the opposition leader, Raila Odinga, why don't you come and be my number two or something? So I suppose the view there would be you keep your friends close, but you keep your enemies even closer.
We don't see any of that violence on our TV sets at all. How much of that are you seeing on Sky News and other BBC channels?
I mean, certainly it will get into the main sort of segment of news, say the first 15 minutes in an hour of a news broadcast, certainly on the BBC, certainly on Sky, certainly on ITV, which is our other major news channel. They will show that violence. They will have reporters there. It will be shown. It's in the papers. If you say go to yahoo.co.uk or any of the UK websites for news, for internet, it typically will be there somewhere. So to us, it is something we see. A lot of that is because Kenya is part of the Commonwealth, so it's slightly closer to home for us. It's a country that, you know, we have a lot of affinity for. That's fairly close relative. So, yeah, I am interested in that, and I do keep an eye on it. But it's interesting to see that in the US, you don't even get to hear about this. You don't even get to see it.
No, unfortunately, we don't. The one thing that has interested me greatly, and I have seen very little of it on AbovePolitics.com, and I've seen even less of it in the American mainstream media, is the big banking scandal over in France. So is there anything you can tell our listeners about that?
Ah, yes, France. It's always nice sometimes when something goes wrong in France. From an English point of view, that's something we sometimes smile about, and we can talk about that on a later show. Yes, spot on there. There's a bank called Société Générale, which I believe is France's second largest bank. And there was a rogue trader who was gambling with the bank's money about changes in the rates in the European stock exchanges. So he's basically betting whether they would go up or down. And he's cost the bank about $7 billion, about £3.7 billion. But there are stories that at his peak he had actually exposed the bank to $140 billion worth of debt. So if the the bank hadn't found out about this one and made some moves to reduce their exposure, he could basically have crippled the bank, very much like Barings Bank was taken down several years ago. Even more interesting, this guy doesn't appear to have made any money himself, pocketed any of this money. He's now languishing in a French prison. Even more interestingly, Justin, is that some people say that when Société Générale corrected its position and was looking to reduce its exposure, UK and European stock markets took a bit of a hit. And there's now some talk that that huge dip in stock prices may have influenced the Federal Reserve to make the big interest rate cut of 0.75% that they did. There's some talk that if Société Générale hadn't changed its position, they might not have gone for the full 0.75% hit there.
Well, that's true. Now, off the air, you and I recently talked about the companies who provide insurance for banks and the underwriting troubles that they're having. I wanna tie this in to your discussion about this French bank. What is the European position on these underwritings? And if the British government in particular has been willing to take a risk in the Northern Rock bailout, are they going to have anything to do with it when these underwriters come hat in hand saying, we can't cover the losses, we're all going to die?
It's a good point. And just to sort of say that the amount of money that the UK government has put into Northern Rock runs, including actual loans to the bank and then covering the depositors' money, runs to about £50 billion. So that's upwards of $100 billion. And that's, again, my money. That's taxpayers' money. Northern Rock, I think, was a special case and probably almost had to be saved, mainly because there was this thing called a run on the bank available if you go and make a deposit. Like, for example, if you put £1,000 in the bank, they will say, we think that you might want to take upwards of maybe £50 at any one time out of that money. So they will only keep £50 of that £1,000 in liquid in cash. And what happened with Northern Rock is people saw it going down. They saw the pictures on the TV, on the radio. Hey, how do you see pictures on the radio? Very good broadcasters telling you.
Hey, it's high definition, widescreen internet radio. They're doing that sort of thing now.
Great. That's technology for you. But people basically saw other people queuing up at the branches to get the money out. So if you had money in Northern Rock, you rushed out to try and get your money out. Caused a run on the bank. First run in 141 years in the UK. Government panic, government flounder, government start bailing money in. They have guaranteed all the depositors in Northern Rock. Now, you sort of talk about some of these other underwriters. I don't think the government are going to bail any other bank or anybody else out, any other financial institution. I think now they will just turn around and say, well, hey, you should have taken steps when Northern Rock went under. If you're exposed, you're going to take the hit. British government isn't going to wade in. So I think
British government may not weigh in, but let's put our conspiracy hats on here for just a quick minute. What about any of the sovereign wealth funds?
Would they wade in? Well, I mean, if you took of some of the sovereign wealth funds, I mean, some of them, particularly in the Middle East, we could be really harsh here and say, well, okay, you've made a lot of money off the back of oil. If you get stung a bit, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But I don't know. You could. I mean, we could walk down a real nice conspiracy path here about saying, would the British government bail out maybe the sovereign funds of maybe Saudi Arabia, maybe Kuwait, maybe Qatar, because there's a huge defense contract coming up. Now, that is interesting.
Just on the spur of the moment, I'm going to ask our listeners on Above Politics to consider that one, and somebody start a thread and let us read it.
Yep, and that I think would be interesting. I think we would never, that's a very dangerous word to say. I don't think that would be public. I think there would be probably some, how should we say, some transactions or payments that would be made as part of the contract that might be used to reimburse some of these sovereign funds who might have lost money.
The good old-fashioned kickback.
No, just some transactions and something that's totally legal and above board as part of the contract. You can't call it a kickback, Justin.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I've got the U.S. presidential elections on my mind, and you can't talk U.S. politics without somehow getting into the whole briefcase full of money thing.
And let's face it, that's what our listeners want to hear about as well. So, hey, for the non-Brit among us, you're looking to elect a new president. So give me the heads up on what's been happening, because, yes, we get some news, but I want to hear what you've got to say.
Well, goodness gracious, we've got Super Tuesday coming real soon, and those of you who can point and click to the U.S. politics forum on AbovePolitics.com will see that that has got to be the most active portion of the website at the moment. And
tell me about it. I mean, I desperately try and get a non-U.S. politics threat politics post at the top, and I put it up there, and 20 seconds later, it's probably halfway down the page.
Well, I've seen that happen, and all I can say is type louder.
I'll try to.
Okay, now, like I said, we got Super Tuesday coming. We now have the Democratic field is finalized. The Republicans are, we're now down to the Three Stooges at this point, and eventually these guys are going to get wise and they're going to stop fighting with each other. Probably the more important race at this point, and it pains me to say it, but I think it's true, the more important race at this point would be the Democratic contest. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Hillary or is it going to be Obama? And as an American, I have to tell you, it's really interesting to see history. Here we are in my lifetime going from memories of segregation going to a point where, in my opinion, it's going to be a Clinton-Obama ticket, and a lot of our old stereotypes will be destroyed when this happens, and our society will move to the next level. Now, I may not like the fact that it's this particular woman who's going to be the leader of the United States, but I cannot ignore the fact that it is going to be a woman. Speaking for myself, having watched Margaret Thatcher do what she did, I'm really interested to see what a woman could do at the helm of the American ship of state.
Well, let's face it. Hillary Clinton can hardly do any worse than your current president. I'm interested. You said Clinton Obama. So does that mean that you think that she's going to get the nomination?
I think it's going to be close, but I think she wins in the West and he wins in the East. But the Western states will give her a higher delegate count. And yeah, I know that this whole election process has gone on way too long, and we're all looking forward to having it over and done with. But there's an important underlying current here, which you do see heavily discussed on AP, and that's the anti-Bush backlash. Too many people are upset about the mismanagement of the war in Iraq. And now, because of this new economic threat that has loomed on the horizon, their patience has all but evaporated. When we see Iraq on the TV, now we yell and scream because we want that government to get their Shiite together, and we want them to do it Sunni rather than later so that we can move on to other things.
And that's a tsunami, Justin. But hey, tell me, what's his fascination with Ron Paul? I mean, I had to look him up on Google.
Yes, well, Ron Paul is very popular on our sister site, AboveTopSecret.com, but he's also very popular on Above Politics. And really, when you get right down to it, I think he expresses a point of view that needs to be heard. Now, speaking of hearing things, I'm taking a look at the clock, and you know what, man? We're just having too much fun. We need to wrap things up because, holy cow, man, they got to get a cleaning crew in here. This has been unbelievable. We are going to have so much to talk about after Super Tuesday that it's going to be incredible.
Well, I can't wait till you stop talking about your primaries, Justin. If you've got a problem, go to the doctor's office. There are other things. There are other things going on in the world, and we've spoken about some of them.
Okay, smart guy. One last question here for you. Put on your thinking cap for a moment. Does it matter to Europe if the next American president is a Democrat or a Republican?
I think not, Justin, actually. I don't think we really mind that much. But hey, you've got George Bush, the smartest man in the universe, or as he might say, the universe. But can anyone do a worse job than Bush today? I don't think so. So long as they can use a calculator, add some sums up, I think you're probably going to get along well with whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. I don't think it matters. We can't influence it. We can't change it. We just have to get on with it. If it's Hillary Clinton, if it's Obama, if it's Ron Paul, if it's anybody, okay, we'll just get on with it.
Yes, indeed. And unfortunately, we need to get on with our wrap-up here. I'd like to say thanks again to the amigos for giving us a shot here. Please don't bill us for the cleanup of this studio.
Well, I don't know. I've made a bit of a mess searching around for things. So, hey, if someone sends me a bill for a few quid, I might be prepared to pay a little bit of it. But we also want to thank you for listening. It's been our first show. It's been fun for us. We've been saying throughout the whole show, if you like what you've heard, tell us. If you don't, if you have a differing opinion, go to the show thread and tell us.
Absolutely. Our producer has been the very friendly Dave Rabbit.
And our engineer has been tone deaf. I'm good.
And remember, if you didn't read it or hear about it on Above Politics, it's probably not true. And that wraps it up for us today. I'm Justin Case.
And I'm Martin Bain, and we will see you next time on the Above Politics show.
Hi, everybody. Dave Rabbit here with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. When I get ready to relax after doing a long show, I enjoy going to our sister site, BelowTopSecret.com. They have some great forums there, some of which include rants, jokes, puns, and pranks, which is one of my favorites, faith and spirituality, relationships, travel and vacations. They even have a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies. I especially enjoy the music, television, fantasy, and science fiction forums, as well as comics, music, member art, and, of course, video games. But my absolute all-time favorite is cool websites. And I want to tell you why. As everyone knows, I do not read. On cool websites, the membership at BelowTopSecret.com has done the work for me. They've researched the World Wide Web and found very interesting sites. All I got to do, go into the forum, click, and I am at an interesting and very cool website. So when you get through listening to that last ATS Mix show, come join me at BelowTopSecret.com, part of the Above Network LLC. Remember, deny boredom, BelowTopSecret.com.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at AbovePolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.